Before we go further, we do want to give way for anybody who they feel like the Lord is leading them to do something, would like to ask if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done at this time. If not, then we'll go into that, which is what the Lord has placed upon our hearts. I'm going to go into the 8th chapter of the book of John. The 8th chapter of the book of John, and we're going to do quite a bit of reading this morning, so just bear with us. But the 8th chapter of the book of John and the 23rd verse, we're going to start there. Book of John, 8th chapter, 23rd verse. We do feel it heavy on our hearts this morning for some reason. If we would ask that you all would please stand in reverence of the Word of God, please. Book of John, 8th chapter, 23rd verse. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We're going to stop right there, and if you would, please bow our heads with us. Our most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your spirit that we're already able to feel. Thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. Thank you for your word that you've given us in the gospel message. But Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just take the word and that it be and bless it, that it be for our good and our benefit, and that it be for your honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd help us as we try to stand, that you'd free up our heart and minds of the things of this world and fill us up with your spirit, Lord, that the gospel message will go out and touch the hearts of the hearers this morning. Heavenly Father, just please be with us, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your grace, and above all, the plan of salvation. Amen. And thank you for participating. You may now be seated. The thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning, and ye shall be free indeed. And ye shall be free indeed. Now, I understand that this morning is the 4th of July, where we celebrate the country's independence, the freedom of America from England. And I would say this before I go further. I do believe, historically, that this country was founded upon good Christian and biblical truth. I believe that with all my heart, and I believe that you can go to history and you can find that out. No matter how many people won't want to believe that or want to not see that, but I believe it was founded upon good Christian and biblical truth. And this was something that our forefathers had fought for, to have freedom to worship God however we please. And I'm thankful today that we still live in this same land where we still have freedom to worship God. Now, I will say this, I'm not thankful or proud of what the country has done the last several years. But I do believe that it is our job and our obligation as those who have been saved by the grace of God to still stand upon the biblical truth that was passed down to us. Now, when we think about the 4th of July, we think about freedom. And I'm thankful that on July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed to declare freedom for America. But let me tell you this, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you are not free at all. And ye shall be free indeed. Jesus was talking in this 23rd verse, we're going to go wherever the Lord leads us, so just pray for us. But he said, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. I believe it was also in the Gospel of John that it was pointed out that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? Above. From the Father of lights, from the God himself. And I believe that gift, one of those gifts, or the gift that came down from heaven that was all good, holy, and perfect, is the gift of salvation itself. But Jesus, as he was talking to the Jews here, he said that, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin, he is the servant of sin. This world that we live in, and once again, I'm thankful that I was born November the 18th of 1998 in Nashville, Tennessee, in the United States of America. I'm thankful for that. But let me tell you what, folks. Pray for us. But let me tell you what, folks. Jesus said that you cannot serve two gods. We were given free will as mankind. And I'm thankful for where I was born at, but if there is one thing that I can say about it, it's that sin and that Satan himself has overrun this place, this country, the society that we live in. And I don't mean to depress you this morning, but folks, if we would open up our eyes and see the evil and the spiritual wickedness that is going on out in this world and in our very doorsteps, folks, I pray that we get a little concerned about lost souls today. But Jesus said, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. So you know what that tells me? You're either a servant of God or you're the servant of sin. Now we understand that in the book of Genesis is where sin first came about. I believe that the world, when God created it and in 6 days and rested on the seventh, he took a step back and he said, it is good. And what that tells me is that the world at one point in time was a perfect place that had no sin in it. Because I don't think God calls something good and it be wicked. But we read how when Adam was formed, he had told Adam that you can eat of all these trees except of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day you'll eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, what is death? We think of it as passing from one life to the next. And how that there is truth to that. The death that God was telling Adam there was being separated. So, when God said, Adam, you will die, he said, Adam, you'll be separated from me. And so we read how the serpent came to Eve in the Garden of Eden there, and how tried to tempt Eve to partake of the fruit. And I believe Eve knew her boundaries because she even told the serpent that we can't eat of this tree because the day we'll eat, we'll die. She knew what God had just said. But then that serpent, and you can read over in the book of Revelation how John the Revelator writes the serpent who is the devil, how he said, well, the day you eat of this tree, you won't die, but the day you eat thereof, you shall be like gods, knowing both good and evil. You know what the Bible says after that? It says that the tree then looked good into Eve's eyes. There's a lot of things out there in this world today that looks good and looks appealing and looks pleasing to our carnal eyes. But just because it is pleasing to us does not mean it is pleasing to God. We read in Proverbs how Solomon himself even said that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end of the way thereof, of his way, is the ways of death. So there's a lot of things out there in this world that looks good. But just because it looks good doesn't mean it's of God. There's a lot of ways that people will tell you of salvation. And just because it sounds good does not mean that it is good. But I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, if you are lost and separated from God, there is a way back to the Father, and that's through and by none other than Jesus Christ. We read how when Eve partook of the fruit, then came Adam, and Adam partook of it. And you see, nothing happened when Eve partook of the tree because the commandment was given to Adam. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that the commandment was given to the man. But then when Adam partook of the fruit, what happened? We read that their eyes were opened, and they saw their nakedness. And so they quickly put together some fig leaves, which really, if you ever looked at a fig leaf, couldn't really cover much. But they tried their very best to sew together clothes to cover themselves. And all of a sudden, God walked in the garden one day. He said, "Adam, wherefore art thou? Where are you at?" Adam came out. He said, "Well, Lord, I hid myself because I was naked." "Well, who told you you was naked?" And then just like human nature, we don't want to take the blame for our actions. So you know what Adam did? Bible says, "Well, the woman that you gave me, she had me to partake of the fruit." But let me tell you, God does not make us do anything. He gives us the free will and the free choices of us to do our own pleasing. We're not merely robots that He has created, but merely we're just humans. But you see, Adam knew about his nakedness there, and he tried to cover it up. And no matter how hard you try to cover yourself up with the fig leaves, no matter how hard you try to cover yourself up, God can see right in the depths of the heart. And that's what I'm thankful about the God that we serve, about the salvation that we teach. How the Bible points out that it's not man-given. Because man cannot reach down into the depths where only God can see. But only God can. And God knows where you stand. And we read in the Bible today that we read how when Samuel went out from Jerusalem to find another king for the people of Israel there, God said, "Don't you judge a man by his stature, because I don't look upon a man the same way you look upon a man, because you judge by the outward appearance, but I judge on the heart, because he can see what's in there, and he can know what's in there. You can fool me, but you cannot fool God. You can fool your mom and dad thinking you're okay, but you cannot fool God. God knows all about you." See, and I believe that God knew about their nakedness, and He already knew what happens. And praise the Lord, we read in the first epistle of Peter how it talked about a predeterminate council that happened in heaven one day, who I believe consisted of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Godhead Trinity, and they already made a plan of salvation for mankind. And you know what that was? That Jesus would be the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We read, and I believe it's 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter there. We're going to get there not too long, but the Lord will allow us and be our helper. But it talked about how He came as sin, but yet He knew no sin. He put on this human flesh like you and I have today. And I believe that He experienced the same thing that we experienced, the troubles, the heartaches, everything about it. He experienced it all. Even whenever He was on the cross there, experienced all that pain and all that suffering. Oh, but yet He knew that there would be a people that would have to come to know Him one day. People who He desired to save. And you know, when I think about God's plan of salvation, and when I just think about God altogether, I do think that God wants to save. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that it's God's will that none should perish, but what? That all should come to repentance. That all should come to know Him. Yeah, I was looking one day, and I call that the vestibule area of the church, where the bathrooms and the entryway is. There's a sign there as you exit, it's to your right. And if any of you go out that door, I want you to take a look at that sign. And it says, salvation. The greatest experience between God and man. And I'm thankful that's up there. But that's so much truth. It is the greatest experience that mankind will ever have with God. So today, us as the people, as human beings, as sinful nature us, in the 8th chapter and 34th verse of John, Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. You may not know it, but if you're not saved, if you're lost and undone, you are in bondage spiritually. You are in bondage. Just like how the children of Israel was in the book of Exodus over in Egypt, they were in bondage there. But yet God made a way for them to get rid of that, to flee Egypt, to go chasing after a land that's called Canaan, that's flowing with milk and honey. And you know, growing up, I literally thought that's what it meant, that it flowed with milk and honey. And I love milk. But you know, that's not what it meant. It meant all the pleasures and desires of this life. And it flows there. Freedom! That's what they wanted. And God provided a way. Now, even there on the Red Sea, as they stood there, God told Moses to take his shoes off for where he stood was a place of holiness. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And people say Moses parted the Red Sea, but it was God that parted the Red Sea there so the people could walk through and escape that bondage. And today, he has created a way for you to escape bondage. Witness freedom and its whole intent and its desire. And Jesus says in the 36th verse, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, what? You shall be free indeed. We read in the book of Hebrews how the writer there says that God saves to the uttermost. That means God saves completely. Whenever he does something, he doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't forget, but he saves you completely and wholly. And there's nothing to go back to get. Some people, and I understand all of our salvation experiences and stories, however you want to say it, it's different. We all come from different backgrounds, different places. God deals with us differently. But you know what? It all comes to a point. And in that point, it's at one point we all found trouble and sorrow like what the psalmist had experienced in the 116th chapter. There was a time we experienced that trouble and sorrow. And then there was a time that all that trouble and sorrow was swept away and God gave us peace. And you ask me what salvation is, and I tell you it's peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's biblical. And I believe everything that we do and say needs to be biblical, backed up by the Word. You see, we might live in a free country, but spiritually lost soul, if you're far and away from God, not saved, don't know Him in the free pardon of sin, you're as miserable can be. I've went to funerals of my own family members. Some who did not leave a testimony and some who did. And let me tell you, it was easier to bury the ones who left behind a testimony than it was for us to bury the ones who we did not have a clue where they stood with God. And I do believe that God, that salvation is an experience between man and God, so personal that only you and God know about it. So something could have happened. I don't know. I like to keep that hope. But let me tell you what, the truth is the truth. If you're not saved, if you're lost and undone, when you die and you leave this earth, you will wake up in a devil's hell. A place that wasn't created for us, not one bit. That was originally intended, created for the devil and his angels. And just think how good of a deceiver Satan might have been if he caused a third of the stars of heaven to fall with him. You see, and I'll tell you this today, church. As much as I love preaching about God, as much as I love telling you about the blessings that God has given me, there's someone that we need to be aware of, and that is Satan himself. And I can tell you this, if it wasn't for God helping me, then Satan would crush me right to my very knees. I truly think that if we got a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the spiritual warfare right now that's happening, that we all, as saved individuals, would fall right on our knees and ask God to help us. See, Satan, Lucifer, however you want to call him, was once an angel of God himself. And one day, pride settled in his heart and thought that he could take the throne of God. And let me tell you what, pride is one of the things that will lead you to hell itself. Come to God, give up your pride. Just give up yourself. There's a song in our song books, we sing "Just As I Am" without it one plea. That's all God really wants, is just as I am. But you know, Satan, we read, God casted him down, and now he is seeking and roaming like a roaring lion, seeking whoever he might devour. Sinner friend, he's not even afraid to devour you himself. That's why we see so many ways and easy believism in this world that people fall into. But the church and the children of God need to stand on what God has given us. So I ask this morning, are you in bondage or are you free? As we think about the 4th of July, think about patriotism. A couple of us have decided to wear American flag colors, or red, white, and blue colors today. July 4th roams around. We all become so patriotic about this country. And there is nothing wrong with that. As a people who would just love this country and love the freedom that it's given, and yet at the same time try to defend it, us as the citizens of the United States as well. But I think this, I think Jesus needs some patriots on his side. There's one word that comes to my mind whenever I think about freedom. And that's a word that I'm going to try to, with the help of the Lord, try to bring out. And that's reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you read in the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise the Lord that one day, whenever I was saved, I became a new creature in Christ. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans, talking about baptism, how it's a showing of us taking off the old man and putting on the new. And that's what happens when we get saved, is God takes off that old man and we need to walk in the new. We don't need to try to put on the old man back on. We need to walk in the new man, walk in the liberties that God has given us. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That word reconciliation or reconciled means being brought back into a state of relationship, to a state of friendship. And when you become saved through and by the grace of God, that's what happens, is it not? Brought into a state of friendship and peace with God himself. And I can tell you this, if you're lost and separated from God, you might think that you have a bunch of friends in this life you can count on, but you'll never have a friend like Jesus. People in this world, they want to try this and try that to fill a void that they have within themselves. But let me tell you what, until you try Jesus, you will never be satisfied. Until you are saved by the grace of God, you will never be satisfied with everything that this life has. And I've tried it a couple times. I've tried to make more money. I've tried to get all the nicer things. But let me tell you what, one of these days it's all just going to burn up. Ain't none of that going to matter. But the only thing that matters is, have you been saved by the grace of God? We brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out of this world. And I can guarantee you this, by the time I die, several of you is probably going to forget my name. That's how fast life goes. By the time I die, a whole lot of people probably won't care. But you know what? The only thing that matters is by the time I die, I know that my name is written down in the book of life. And in Revelation, the Bible tells us that whosoever name was not found in the book of life, what are they? They're casted, thrown furiously into a lake of fire, where the fire never quenches and the worm dies not. Where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And just like the rich man story of rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. How the rich man woke up. And I want us to understand this. The greatest people I've ever met in my life are the people who did not have a quarter to their name, but yet knew God. And I'm not saying the rich man went to hell because he was rich. Your body doesn't send you to hell. But I do believe that he was sent to hell because he died lost and separated from God. And the Bible does warn us about gaining the wealth of this world, how the root of money, how the love of money is the root of all evil. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a lot of money, but folks, you need to watch out who becomes your God. If we put money in front of God, you know what just happened? Money became your idol God. But yet the rich man one day when he woke his eyes up in hell, what happened? He lifted his eyes up and he saw Lazarus, the beggar that was pleading at his table, afar off. In Abraham's bosom.
in heaven. Bible says that he thirsted, that he saw, that he felt. You know what that tells me? People say that we have senses as human beings to touch, feel, taste, smell, hear, sight. But you know what that tells me? That in hell, the rich man had his senses. And what a torture that is. To a point that the truth that is brought out in this world, the rich man knew what was truth and what was false. And to the point that the rich man looked and he said, Father Abraham, if it just be thy will, if it be thy desire, if it's okay with you, send Lazarus back so he can go tell my brothers, go tell all my family about this dreadful place. Dreadful. Even people in hell don't want you there. And I can tell you this, we were going in Sunday school this morning about now is the day of salvation. Let me tell you, now is the appointed time, and today is the day of salvation. And there's a whole lot of people that's in hell who thought they had a tomorrow. There's a whole lot of people who died who thought they had a tomorrow. Folks, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Even walking out the church doors is not guaranteed. Even making it home safely is not guaranteed. You know, one thing I realized a couple years ago, I went to work, or was headed to, planned on being at work. See, I had plans. Then I wrecked on the interstate going 75 miles an hour. Totaled my car. I blacked out during impact. I woke up. Whenever I came back to my senses, I was upside down, all glass shattered and everything. And a thing that came to my mind at that moment was the mercies that God has. God has mercy upon us as human beings, as individuals. But one of these days, that's going to run out. One of these days, time is going to run out. One of these days, the last sermon is going to be preached. One of these days, the last song is going to be sung. The last testimony will be said. The last prayer will be prayed. Are you ready if you just so happen to die today? Can you truly say that you are free from sin? Now, even us as saved individuals, I can tell you this. Our flesh is not free from sin. This flesh will continue to sin until the day we die. But that spiritual being, God has sealed up until the day of redemption and can sin no longer. What a great God that we serve. If you've been saved, this ain't your home. This isn't. And what a glad thought that is. What, there's a song, I think it's the Perrys that sung it. I could be wrong, but it said, do you know how it feels that just wherever you roam, you just get this feeling that you're not at home because you're knowing that heaven is real. You see, when God convicted my soul, and I told me I was lost and separated from him. See, hell became real to me. Death became real to me.
116th of Psalm, the sorrows of death compassed him, the pains of hell got hold upon him. I found trouble and sorrow, and I found the same thing was trouble and sorrow. And all I could think about was, what if I died right now? What if I died right now? And let me tell you what, I could not sleep as that little 7-year-old boy at his bedside. I could not sleep at all. But when God saved my soul, Brother Danny, I was able to sleep like a baby that night. I'm still able to sleep like a baby without a care in this world of what might happen to me. I know where I am going. But sinner friend, do you know where you're going? Do you have any idea? Children of God, church, let's be serious about sinners being saved. That we would pray for conviction and their soul salvation. And lost sinner, I pray and pray with all my heart and with all my strength that you get serious about where you stand with God. We read, going on further in the 5th chapter in 2 Corinthians, in the 20th verse, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Christ needs ambassadors. As much as we want to be patriotic on this 4th of July, Christ needs ambassadors. He needs patriots as well. But as though God did beseech you, as God did beg you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. As God is begging right now for you to be saved, we pray that yet you know Christ and that you be reconciled to God, that you would be brought into the state of friendship and peace with God Himself. And I hope that's what we're praying for as God's people. I'll get to this and then I'll be done. But we read in the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And let me tell you this, we already said that it's God's will that none should perish, that all should come in repentance. 18th chapter, 23rd verse of Ezekiel, God even said there in the 23rd verse, He said, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?" Rhetorical question. "But do I have any pleasure that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" God doesn't take any pleasure in lost people dying in their sins. That's why he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. 25th verse. "Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal." And we want things to be equal in this life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But even God's plan of salvation is equal. You see, God's no respecter of persons. And I think that some of us need to stop thinking that He is. God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who your mom and daddy is. Doesn't matter who your aunt and uncle is. Doesn't matter who your cousin is. Doesn't matter who your pastor is. The bottom line to it all, there is equal opportunity for everyone, that today is the day of salvation. And I believe that God pleads with you to be saved. But at the same time, that all of God's ways are equal. You know, if you seek to be saved, you're going to have to come to God the same way I came to God. And that's with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and God drawing. See, the Bible teaches about the drawing power of God. Jesus even said one place, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me," and that is what we desire. But he said, "No man can come unto me unless the Father which has sent me draw him." All ways are equal with God. And this thing about karma, I don't believe in no karma or luck. I believe what the Bible says, and that reigns on the just and the unjust. God deals with us equal opportunity. And if you don't come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, all because of your pride, or because you wait for a special service to happen, you wait till revival time comes, or you wait till we have a fellowship service again. Let me tell you this, in the 30th verse, God said, "Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." Shall not be your demise, your downfall. There's a song, an old hymn, down in Tennessee we would sing all the time when revival came. "Don't put off salvation too long." Folks, don't put off salvation too long. And I know that Brother Jeff is going Facebook Live too, and Brother Alex is putting this on the website of the church so not just people in the building can hear it, but that it can go out. Let me tell you what, it doesn't matter. And even those in the building today, it doesn't matter how bad or how big of a sinner you think you are. God can save anybody. And Jesus can change your life. If you just let him. There's a new contemporary song that came out. I'm not big into contemporary music. I've tried my very best throughout the last couple years to get into contemporary. And there's some songs that I've enjoyed. Some I wouldn't touch with a 30-foot pole. But there's one that I've been playing frequently, almost every single day that I go to work. And the little children sung it at Southside the other day and truly blessed my heart. And it said, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." Romans 10 and 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." After God saves our souls, we have something to confess about. So let me tell you this, church, if you have something to confess about, let's tell people about our Jesus. Let's tell people what he can do, the shackles that he can take away, the freedom and the liberty that he can give that no man can. Thankful one day that I was in bondage, and now I'm free. He set me free. Oh, yes, he did. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this morning. But I pray above all that God got honor and glory out of it. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark and Brother Danny, if you want to accompany her, we invite you to do that at this time. If you're lost and separated from God, altar's open, or you can seek God where you're at. But I just beg you, don't put off salvation too long. And us as God's people, we have something that we need to confess about. So as the Holy Spirit moves, let us confess what God can do.